Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Dr. Marcus Haggard speaking on Born into Battle, Friday morning, May the 23rd, 1980. Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Scripture says that right now a believer is raised to heavenly places in Christ, boldly enters into the heavens, holy of holies. And in John 17 it says that because we're all one, then the world will know that Jesus Christ lives. And it also says in Colossians 1:13, he says, you are translated into the kingdom of heaven. So we're as close to the Father as we'll ever be, and let's enjoy it! All right, let's reach that in, you see. Let's rejoice in it. Heavenly days. The idea of dying to go to the Lord got to be a Satan. Because we're with him. Oh, my. And he's here. And after a while, we'll show you a scripture where he says, if you'll come out from among them, I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to walk in you and talk in you, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be mine. Oh, heavenly days. You see, the promises in this Bible are all conditional. They're there. But do you think the Lord wants a little mamby-pamby rocking in the rocking chair all the time or sitting on the beach, never demonstrating what the power of the Lord can do? See, the Lord is just waiting for somebody to put his power in action through a believer. But there are certain conditions that he said that he needed fulfilled. And most of them are put there, you see. All of them are put there by Satan, who has deceived and robbed and killed and destroyed us. And you want to realize that most of our thinking about religion and serving the Lord is wrong. It's been taught by a traditional church, Satanized, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. But denying the power. Oh, praise the Lord, you see. And that's why, and we're just going to start in this Born into Battle, and we're just going to go through it. We're just going to start this. We're not going to finish it because we're going to go to ministering after a while. And the Lord's going to go to ministering. You see, if you become acutely aware of soul power, and I had it in the worst way. See, soul power is personal magnetism. And I spent about 10 years traveling 100,000 miles a year for A.O. Smith Corporation, biggest, world's largest metal fabricator, talking to groups that could, actually, with sheer magnetism, I trained all their salesmen, over 400 salesmen. I had the first tape program. And I was a student of mind control and thought that, thought it was all of God. That I was doing God a favor. I was I wasn't born again and saved. I was in church, well, as much as anybody could be in church. I was in the Presbyterian church. My wife, the only thing kept her home together. She was born again. She really was born again, see? And I didn't even know what the word meant. But raised in the Presbyterian church, 35 years in the Presbyterian church, not born again or saved, and I was always a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher. I was churchy. When I was a youth leader, we always had 45, 50, 60 kids. Because, boy, we had things going. We had tennis. We taught them to play tennis. Now, that's important, you know. They gotta have muscle development. Isn't tennis important? But say yes. Yeah, you're on my team, see? And, The thing of it is, when I would speak to a group of people, just to show you see, I'm demonstrating soul power through myself. But you know, I'd receive letters after I talked to people, and they'd congratulate me on mentioning Jesus Christ and America. See, I'm a good American, and I am indeed. And I all that time I wasn't born again and saved, and I'd stand there, and I'd be talking to a bunch of farmers. And I'd say, now look, When the four-row corn planter came out and the picker-sheller came out, there was a lot of farmers couldn't figure out how to operate it, so they'd use their old equipment for another year while they figured out how to use the new equipment, see? And I'd say, now look, I'd hold that Bible right there, not this one, but one like it. It was a smaller one I'd carry. And I'd say, now look, you wouldn't try to put your four-row planter together or operate it without a manual, would you? An operator's manual. I want to tell you something. This is the operator's manual for your family. Now remember, I was unborn again. I wasn't born again. I wasn't saved. And I could stand and tell them that Jesus Christ was the only way to go. And I had a few scriptures that I could use, like Mark 10:24 in this translation. And I was dead set against every other translation. I told them so. I'm not born again or saved. See, what it was soul power, the wisdom of man. Now, preachers don't have to be born again and saved to preach the word and baptize. They can do that very nicely. But see, for the power of God to be demonstrated. So why wouldn't I be against deliverance? Why wouldn't I be against healing? If I couldn't manifest it with soul power, and the only thing a person can manifest through soul power is what the devil wants manifested. But I'm telling you for sure, you can preach the Bible and not be saved. You can teach the Bible and not be saved. And sure. Oh, my. Yeah, sure. There wasn't any God to get the... Wasn't any way to, it stopped there. It started there and it stopped there, you see. Well, I'm telling you for sure, we've been deceived, and we are going to have the light, right? Praise God. Now, in Born in the Battle, the primary, we're just going to take a minute to get these sheets out. On the cover page, which we're primarily interested in, it gives us some scriptures, and you can just circle them. And it says in Isaiah 51:20, and down at the bottom it says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapon of war." Now, that's from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's what he regards us. We are his battle axe, you see. In another scripture previous to that, it says, "I will open up my armory." I'm going to open up my armory. And he's talking about sending Jesus Christ. Then, let's just simply go to, let's take off 1, 2, 3 pages and go to part 1, "As my Father has sent me," John 20:21. Okay. Let's just take if you want to make a note of some scriptures, I will give them to you, and you can write them right on these sheets. This is one nice thing about having these sheets to write them on. These are just some, just to prove that the Lord was serious when he started. We really are, I'm sure, you see, the thing the Lord wants done is for everybody to go out of here a minister for Jesus Christ, see? They don't want you to go out of here just better informed. I think that's the shortcoming, is to go out of here better informed. But not only that, but he wants you to go out of here able to do deliverance. Able. And why don't some people? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But just to build your confidence, you see, the thing that what I would like to show you is the scriptural background of who we are. So I'm going to just have you make a note and write down Genesis 32:28 and Galatians 3:29. Now, you can look that up later, but I'll just tell you what it means. Galatians 3:29. Now, that says, Galatians 3:29 says, that through faith in Christ, you inherit all the promises of Abraham. And Abraham was an Israelite, see? So spiritually, see, there's nothing can occur from God in your old soul. But through your renewed mind, you are an Israelite. Through your renewed and restored mind, you're going to receive the fact out of the Word of God that we are Israelites. We spiritually are all of the things that the Lord promised the Jews. Entirely. That's what psych is. That's what psych means. That's the old mind. That's the carnal mind. That's the demon. Oh, yeah. That's where they all are. You see, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is, you know, that's all of the devil trying to duplicate what God wants for his children. Now, go ahead. Oh. Let me tell you, speaking in tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit, just attracts Satan to put that person under more pressure to fill them with evil spirits and deceive them than they've ever experienced before. If you really want the pressure from the devil, just get the baptism. Now, if that were true, then every revival would change the world. See, but every time that a Christian starts serving God and gets the power, then the devil really starts squelching him. How? Well, one is deception through soul power. Now, I want to quickly give you some scriptures, and we're going to go through all this later, but to see, in case that we don't get to it, I want to give you Isaiah 45:11 in the King James translation only. We'll write that down, but King James translation only, you can just make a note of that, but it says, ask me of things to come concerning my son. Now, the devil's tried to duplicate that. In fact, he's had it taken out of the rest of the Bible. He turned that into a rebuke. And ask me of things. God wants to serve our every question. He wants us, look, how did Christ walk? Of myself, I can do nothing. But only through the Father. See, the union with the Father for us. Boy, when we get so, that this is why I say that a preacher really ought to keep working. A preacher ought to keep working so he can keep active. The minute a preacher has a lot of time on his hands, he's got time to meditate and wait on the Lord and practice the presence of God. And practicing the presence of God is the trick of Satan, because that leads to a passive mind, you see. And a passive mind is the devil's workshop. And a King James Version or a King James Translation, either one, honey, will have that in it. Now, the thing of it is, the Lord wants us asking Him everything we need to know. Now, once in a while, don't be shocked if you say it's already written there. Because Jesus said, I've told you everything my Father told me, because that's why I call you a friend in John 15, see? So, actually, we have our instructions in the Bible. Now, He also says, command ye the works of my hands. And we're going to show how consistent that all is with the Scripture. Okay, now let's go back to being an Israelite, being a Jew. And being an Israelite and being a Jew gives us everything in the Old Testament. And in Genesis 32:28, just make a note of that, a wonderful thing happened. Jacob was wrestling with an angel. And when Jacob wrestled with that angel, boy, he was tough, wasn't he? He wouldn't turn loose, would he? Who was that angel? The Lord. And he just wrestled all night. He says, I won't turn loose till you bless me. So, the Lord, in this scripture, he says, in Genesis 32:28, he just turns to you and he says, I will call you no more Jacob, but I'm going to call you what? Now, you look up Israel in Strong's Concordance or any good Greek dictionary, and Israel means to rule with God. Right there, he told Jacob that him and all his descendants are going to be called Israel to rule with God. Now, that's what Israel means. Now, how many sermons have you heard on the definition of Israel? See, not very many. Why? Why, because it's been suppressed. See, revival is being constantly put pressure on, being suppressed. It's no, you just have somebody call you for ministry. They tell you they're demon-possessed, and then you watch how hard it is for them to get there. They'll be in the hospital, they'll be in jail, they'll be process papers to be committed. If it's a teenager, they'll have them in the juvenile detention center. It's a terrible struggle for a possessed person to get to you. Why? What do you have to do immediately, Shockley? You have to start praying for them on the phone when they contact you. The minute. Find that strong man, see. Go to war at that time and start using your power. That's part of the ministry. That's part of the battle. We have to realize we have to do that. Okay, so let's just go to the first point, Genesis 3:15. That's the first mention of Jesus. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then in 1 John 3:8, it says, in the last part of that verse, it says that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now you see, hopefully, right here, upon the entrance of Jesus, was there any other reason for Jesus to be born? Tell me! Was there any other reason for Jesus to be born? He was born to destroy the works of the devil, pure and simple, and that's the only reason he had to come. If Adam had stayed in his original form, Jesus wouldn't have been necessary. He would have been there. See? Now, Jesus Christ had only one purpose when he came, and that was to wipe out Satan's kingdom in the believer, and eventually in the world and in the earth. The Bible tells that plan, doesn't it? But Jesus Christ, now, I want to just, any time that anybody through stories and emotions and so forth is using the moods and the feelings to churn up an audience, to churn up a group of kids, to churn up trying to get souls saved, if they're using soul power to get souls saved. Now, they might just be good as gold as in their own thinking. They think they're pure thoughts and so forth. But the Lord told me the other day, I've had a bunch of stuff later laying around by somebody that had studied in detail the scourging that Jesus Christ took. Oh, how his flesh hung off, how he wasn't recognizable and so forth. And just page after page of that stuff. And I've heard it preached. The Lord just told me the other day, he gave me that scripture, it pleased the Father to bruise him, and it ought to please you. Boy, when we think of what Jesus Christ did for us, we ought to jump up and shout and run around and say, hallelujah, I am joyful. And you know what? When this is dwelled on too much, it's soul power. Now, we have to recognize what he went through. We don't take anything away from that. But the Holy Spirit says, that's why he came. That was his job. When I stay up 3 or 4 nights, or we stayed up with 23 or 24 nights in a row with a demon-possessed woman, and we've stayed up 12 and 7 and 6 and so forth. Now, understand, I work every day. I have to get up and I have to go to work because that work's got to be done, or the mortgage payment doesn't get paid, see? And our family doesn't eat. So that work's got to be done. Now, if I complain to the Lord about doing that, what would he say? What scriptural thing could he come back? Yeah, but he said something a little more than that. He'd call me an unprofitable service, wouldn't he? Said, even having done all that, you're still unprofitable. What'd he tell that servant? Anybody here find that right quick? No. No, there. He says, you come in to the house, he gets your supper, you sit down and eat, and so forth. Does the servant sit down and eat before the master? No, he keeps working. And after you've done all this, see, the disciples were complaining to him about how they were working. And they said, look what we're doing. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. And he says, now look. He says, when the master comes in and the servant has worked all day in the field, he comes in, he prepares the master's meal and everything, and he does all that work, and the master turns to him and says, you're an unprofitable servant. Now, that's exactly what the Lord tell me. You're complaining? That's what you're here for. What else are you supposed to be doing? See? What else are you supposed to be doing? If there's soul power mixed in, what would they say? Oh, well, you know, I don't know what it was, soul power making me mention that, or I mentioned it for an illustration, see? But that, look what I did for the Lord. I'm going to take a week off. I just worked my fingers to the bone. Church suppers this night, this night, this for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord. I'm going to take a vacation. He wants my body to rest. Well, I'm just saying this, that we do have to rest. I'm not saying we don't have to rest or anything, but I'm saying that whatever we have to do for the Lord, whoever he sends us to minister, whoever the Holy Spirit, I was going to say a while ago in that where it says that in Matthew 18:19, where it said, for two or more are gathered in my name, I will do it. anything you ask, I will do. Do you know what that original language says for two or more are gathered in my name? It is comes from the original Greek as music, and the Holy Spirit has to bring them together. Now, anything that's brought together in unity with the working of the Spirit, the Lord will honor. That's what he's saying. If your marriage is put together and is now under, well, it doesn't have to be put together. If your marriage is now under the Holy Spirit in unity with the Father, then that works. If a church prays for two or more together, and they're really established by the Holy Spirit, the Lord has to honor it. And that's where love comes in. Anything that's of the word love, that's classified as phileo love, and originates from the world, the Lord, that is not, there's no love of God in it. And that's why people say, I love you, brother, and then treat you just like you were nothing, you know. Now, if the love of God is in it, they're going to be ministering to you. They're going to be, we'll have a little bit more on that. But as these things come along, they kind of seem to lead us away from this pattern. But let's just quickly go through Isaiah 61:1, and it says what Jesus Christ was sent for. Heal, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, opening the prisons that are bound. Isaiah 58:6. Loose the bands of wickedness. We're going to look at Isaiah 58 entirely. These ye have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which is driven away. Now, John 5:36, Jesus says it very plainly. He says, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now, I want to show a relationship where love, well, that's a good one right here, I bet you. Where love works, charity, agape, or agapeo love, and charity, and many other words can be interchanged in the Bible. In other words, Jesus says that the works that I do are the demonstration of the power of God that the Father sent me. Now, the importance of works has been de-emphasized, see? And in Hebrews 2, 3, and 4, it says that God always confirmed His Word with works. Now, we're going to just simply start ministering, and I think this is an appropriate place to just stop for a while. And I just want to add this, you see. If Jesus said that, he says, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent me. Now listen to this closely. The works that I do bear witness that the Father sent me. Then he says in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now he did something that I don't want to omit. If he sends us as the Father sent him, then how are we going to know that we're sent? How are we going to know that we really represent the Father? See, and he said, we're to be witnessed. He said, I'm going to give you the power to witness. That's what he meant. Now, make a note of another scripture, and then, there's many things that when Jesus came, as the truth, I must be lined up wrong somewhere. When Jesus Christ came, how did he renew the mind? And how did he quicken the soul? And how did he did it just like he did it the first time? John 20:22. John 20:22, he met the disciples on the road after he had been raised from the dead. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So now the scriptures say that he was a second Adam. The first Adam, everything died. The second Adam became a quickening spirit. Now that's in Corinthians. We'll refer to it later. You see, I just pray that the Father just I used to go over to a church where we held meetings, and I'd get down there on the front row about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when there was a meeting. I'd just dash out of the clinic where I have a practice about 3 blocks from there. And the night we'd have a meeting, why, I'd dash over there and I'd get down on the front row. All the church was empty and all myself. And I'd say, "Hey, Father, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your spirit." See, I thought I was praying right. But see, I also, when I'd stand up to talk, I would say, "Father, just use me. Use me. Put things in my mind." I learned something. You see, number one, we've got a full measure of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. We can't get any more than what... I mean, it's there. I mean, when He pours it through Jesus Christ, and when we get our soul dead, and when that Holy Spirit is ready to move, and we've done the things that have met the requirements, we've got the full measure of the Spirit. And we're to ask for the Holy Spirit, and then we're to qualify according to the Word. It also says we're working with Him. Now that means that it says a prophet is in control of himself. You see, the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. It says that a man without control of himself is like a city whose walls are down. So we must have control of all of ourselves and all of our mind and all of our gifts all the time. That means the Lord wants a fully aware operating faculty in our mind. And now I say, "Father, just bring to my mind the thoughts, the scriptures, the Lord and yourself to be used." And so the power we're going to see fall in this meeting and throughout this meeting is just simply because there's willing vessels who have died enough with their soul power to let their renewed minds operate in the Word and expect from God, and the Holy Spirit determines it all. It says, at His will. He distributes a gift at His will. We had a lady that we were working with, and she got good deliverance, and she got a little scared because she was seeing, she'd read a book, and a preacher wrote it, and the preacher said in this book that masturbation is normal. And so she was masturbating, and she absolutely thought it was right. Well, she had horrible dreams about 3 o'clock every morning, snakes all around her bed. And one night we were delivering, one evening we were delivering her, and she saw snakes all over, which isn't unusual. But she just, because she was hanging on to this and wouldn't repent of it, deliverance really wasn't really to be had, you see. And so she went to her preacher, which is in a full gospel church, and she said, "Well, they say I have evil spirits, and I'm just a little bit afraid." And he just stood back and looked at her, and he says, "Well, you don't have any evil spirits. If you did, I could tell it." Now, what does it say about the gift of discernment? At His will. You don't have the gift of discernment unless you have the ability to discriminate. You have the ability to walk circumspectly. You know good from evil. But you do not have the gift of discernment to discern evil spirits unless the Holy Spirit gives it to you at His will. Now, I think all the gifts are manifest and they're there all the time to use, but the Holy Spirit's got to be in operation. Yes. Okay, she said that she had a bunch of people participating in oral sex where it was taught it was all right. There was 800 ministers met in Kansas City, and they were shown a film on how to reconcile marriages, and part of that was a film on oral sex, the technique of oral sex, and how to satisfy your mate better, and so forth. We also had a man that was practicing deliverance in Michigan advise a man who had been to our place for deliverance and fell away from God completely and ran away with another woman, and the counselor told him that oral sex was okay. I mean, this deliverance minister said oral sex is okay. Oral sex is a powerful spirit. Oral sex is of Satan through and through. It shouldn't be practiced. He can fill you with evil spirits from it, and they're one of the toughest to,
you know, their manifestations and so forth. But oral sex is not of God. It's a spirit just like everything else. Now, just because godly people or people having a form of godliness say these things, that doesn't make it true. And a person really has to be careful. And Father, we just simply, Lynn, should we go to ministering? Do you? Well, all right, then let's just do it this way. Father, we're going to have a free-for-all, okay? We've got workers ready, and we're just going to minister and minister to the needs of people. And we have quite a few workers here and people that can pray for you. And we're just the people that want ministering. And see, the meeting's dismissed formally. So you can go and do what you want to. If you have a need and the Holy Spirit impresses you, now we're asking the Father for a complete covering of angels. I mean plenty of them, Father, big ones, warrior angels. We ask you to send those and entirely surround this area. Evan Roberts says that nobody can put the blood over you for you. So everybody should put the blood of Jesus over themselves. Let's pass out the warfare prayers. Let's see. We need to quickly pass out the warfare prayers. Now, chances are we'll pass the warfare prayers out again and have them available. And if you, like I say, the meeting is adjourned. Now, we're going to go through these warfare prayers quickly, and we really should take them daily for ourselves. If you need copies, there's plenty of extras. And if you're starting a deliverance group or deliverance in your home or anything like that, take some extra warfare prayers because you'll need to lead people through them before deliverance. And it's just much more effective. Haven't you found it's more effective to lead people, to deliver people after the warfare prayer? A woman should never minister to a man without another man present. A man should never minister to a woman without another lady present. And if you've got a big, strong man or a muscular woman, you better have six present. They can become very strong. They can run out of the house. They can lock themselves in the bathroom. See, these people look like themselves. And they'll stand up and they'll say, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And they can go to the bathroom, lock the doors, and commit suicide. And you just simply have to remember that what looks like them talking is probably a demon talking during deliverance. And so you want to be very cautious. Some of them want a drink of water. We don't even give them a drink of water because we figure it's probably a demon wanting a drink of water. He's going to dry places, and I don't want to prolong him in any way, shape, or form. Now, what's the warfare?
Hello. Hi. What we want to announce is that we will be serving when the warfare is finished, whatever time that'll be, or even we might start serving some people ahead of time.
The Holy Spirit even works through lunch, can it?
Of course. There's a lot of deliverances right at our table. And then immediately after we eat, Brother Krause and his wife have arrived, and they will be speaking to us about food, putting away food, how to do it, and dry food, dehydrated food, and I don't know what else, what the Bible says about food. And so they will be speaking to us. Wave your stand up, Brother Krause. He will be speaking as soon as we get lunch over. And then the afternoon meeting will begin approximately at 2:30 to a quarter of 3, some more deliverance and teaching. Thank you.
Okay. I think it would be a good idea to take your pencils or paper or pens and write at the top of your warfare prayers. Just write these words. Is your yoke broke? Is your yoke broke? And the reason that I would like for you to do that is because that in Isaiah 58, it speaks of breaking the yoke. And in Isaiah 58, a little farther along, it says, if you'll put off the yoke. Now, the yoke is anything that binds you to karate, a picture, your family album, family history, pride in breeding, you know. Anything that builds up your soul power and pride, right, is your yoke broke. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6, 14, along in there, it says, be not unequally yoked. Now, be not unequally yoked can mean there's being, have a relationship of any kind or a commitment to anything that isn't of God. And the Bible lists over 40 different types of people that we're not to fellowship with. And so what this is doing, the warfare prayers, is you're just going to turn your back and lock out all of the snares possible that Satan has put in you. And we have them. We're full of them. You know, you went to the fortune teller when you were young for fun. You got on, my wife and I accepted a ticket out of a scale when we were going together as kids in Kansas with a fortune on it. And it said, be careful, you're about to have an accident or something. We drove the next 30 months being very careful that we'd like to have an accident. And we finally did. A bad one. Now, I know this, the devil puts a thought in your mind. Your child might get sick. Your child might get in with a gang with drugs. Your child might get into the gang with drugs. Oh, you suppose? Oh my, I'll start worrying about that. We actually had a woman that a lady came into the beauty shop and said, I see your boy lying in the hospital with a high temperature, unconscious. She said, well, how do you know that? The lady said, I don't know, I just see it. Well, within 30 days, her boy was in the hospital with a high temperature, had epileptic spells ever since. Did I say something wrong? Well, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't laugh at me except in the privacy of my own home. They really enjoy me, you know what I tell you? That's their soul power, see? Yeah. That's the way the devil puts it on. Now, when that thought comes into your mind, you have to say, Satan, I cancel your wiles for me. I cancel your plans for me. I rebuke it. I will have no part of your plans for me or my family, because we're serving Jesus. And he doesn't do things like that. Sure. Absolutely. That's the way he makes it materialize. And some of these people think they visualize an accident or a happening to their family, and they say, oh, that's of God. That's God warned. Three girls went to a fortune teller that stayed with Pastor Hunter's family from Ball State. And the fortune teller, this is in a school carnival, and the fortune teller just wrote on a piece of paper and said, I can't tell you your fortune, just your future. Just look at this when you get home. And on the way home, why, those three girls had an auto accident, and this girl was killed. And on this note was written, you have no future. Now, that's a true story. And the thing of it is, she accepted that note. See, snares of the devil, you don't know about them. That's why they're called snares. If you were going to set a snare for an animal out here, would you lay it on top of the ground? And would you make sure that he saw it, you see? No, you'd go out there and you'd dig a little hole and you'd cover up everything, you see, and put food in the middle. But you'd hide it. So actually, that's why they're snares. Okay. So what we're doing, and I'm not going to give you these scriptures now, but we have some scriptures that we use to convince people that ought to take them. And I'll give you those in a later meeting, but be sure and remind me too, because a lot of people don't know why you want them to take them, see? And they don't understand it, but there's a whole bunch of scriptures that support the taking of these and closing the doors. Now, as we go through this, we're going through rapidly, we're going to read rapidly, and you just do it as we go through it. We'll spend just a minute giving you a little time to do it, and then that's it. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship. We're just going to read them together. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my protection. I surrender myself completely and unreservedly in every area of my life to you. I take a stand against all the workings of Satan that would hinder me in my prayer life. I address myself only to the true and living God and refuse any involvement of Satan in my prayer. Satan, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence with all of your demons. I bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between us. I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob me of the will of God. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I pull down the strongholds of Satan. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God, Messiah, come in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I now ask that you, I believe your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Lord, I have a confession to make. I have not loved, but have resented certain people, and have unforgiveness in my heart, and I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. Four things that block deliverance, mainly, if you want to make a note of them, are unforgiveness and pride, occult, and unbelief and doubt. Those four areas are the four major blocks, and most of them are covered in these prayers. It's essential you forgive. You don't have to feel like forgiving. Just forgive. If you've got anybody, Lord, I ask you to refresh the memories here. Bring to their memory people that are blocking their ability to receive deliverance or healing because of the unforgiveness in their heart. Husbands, wives, parents, and better forgive God. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, God, why in the world did you make me? Why didn't you make me pretty? You know, you just built me like a tank. And some people get mad at God for that, you see. Okay, and ask you to forgive them also, Lord. I do now forgive and accept myself in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I now confess seeking from Satan the help that should only come from God. I now confess as sin, swinging the pendulum over an egg to see whether it was a rooster or a chicken. How right the watermelon was, over a woman's stomach to see whether she's going to have a boy or a girl. Palm reading, ESP, hypnosis, Ouija board, hypnosis legal and illegal, drugs, Valium, Librium, all those drugs, Cirac, you name them. Having a Valium, taking a Valium, taking a Librium is the same scriptural offense as calling up the local witch and have her cast a spell on you for that day. Comes from the same root word in the Bible, sorcery. Okay, Gene Dixon, Edgar Casey, Rosicrucianism, Christian Science, Jehovah Witness, Unity, Mormonism, all the cults, you see. Masonry, okay? Okay, and also those sins I cannot remember. Lord, I now repent and renounce these sins and ask you to forgive me. I renounce Satan and all his works. I hate all his demons. I count them my enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now close the door on all occult practices, and I command all such spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break, loose myself from all demonic subjection to mother, father, grandparents, or any other human being, living or dead, that have dominated me in any way. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break, loose myself and my children from all psychic powers or bondages or bonds of physical or mental illness upon me or my family line as a result of parents or any other ancestors. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now rebuke, break, loose myself and my children from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, bewitchments, witchcraft, and sorcery that have been put upon me or my family line from any person or from any occult or psychic sources, and I cancel all connected and related spirits and command them to leave me. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Let's drop down to pride now. That's the third one up. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I know pride is an abomination to you, that a haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running the mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, are seven things doth the Lord hate, and are an abomination unto him. Father, I renounce these, and turn away from them. I humble myself before you, and come to you as a little child. Father, I renounce unbelief and doubt as sin, and ask you to forgive me from these. Once in a while, when you have a person sit down that has a short leg, and you lift those legs up, and by the way, you ought to just do that all the time. That's one of the world's greatest demonstrations by the Lord, is people with short legs. And you ought to all just do it on your family and do it on your neighbors, and they'll just grow right out. And once in a while, if they don't grow out, you'll have to have that person renounce doubt and unbelief. That's the first thing. And sometimes when they do that, they just snap right like that, just grow right out. But now, soul ties are invisible ties, and they are in the Bible. It says when a man sleeps with a harlot, he becomes a part of that harlot. When a lady, the Bible doesn't say this, but when a lady goes to a psychiatrist, he establishes in her a control spirit. Have you ever heard the term, once a psychiatrist, always, you'll always have a psychiatrist? Well, there's a control spirit in there, and I don't care if you move 3,000 miles away, he still controls that person, because demons can transfer on a line, invisible line, between those people at will. So you want to break the soul, the evil soul ties. Father, I break and renounce evil soul ties that I have had or may have had with lodges, adulterers, close friends, husbands, wives, engagements, cults, binding agreements between buddies. I renounce these evil soul ties, break them, and wash them away with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back up to come to Jesus delivery prayer. It's the second from the top. I come to you, Jesus, as my deliverer. You know all my problems. Here's the time to tell Jesus. To get a prayer answered, one of the first requirements is that you have to know you need something. How many people have you asked, what do you need today? I don't need a thing. Everything's just fine. Well, you get to talking to them for a half hour or so, and they have a dozen things that just torment them and bother them. The rent's due. The mortgages due. The car payments due. They need money for the medical bills. Now, Jesus, one of the first things that you have to establish, well, do you feel bad about asking the Lord for stuff once in a while? Do you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. You know, I want to tell you, I want to change your attitude. I want to change your attitude about asking. Do you know what the original language of ask is? Well, it goes farther than that. It is demand of something that is due. See, Jesus Christ paid for it. It is due you. He died to wipe out every problem and every need you have, and we have to realize we have that need, and He will fill it. And well, the Bible guarantees it. He says, I have spoken it. He's fulfilling it. And so we ask the Father, because it's due us. We can't do a thing to earn it, can we? Jesus Christ paid for it all. So you see, right here is the time in your problems. If you need $10,000, if you need that foot healed, if you need the pain eradicated, if you need new eyesight, and Father, I do. I tell you, I just come against the spirit of blindness. And you know, I accepted, a guy told me, he was a doctor out of Missouri University, and he went through, he had just come from the dentist. I went out there to talk at a short course, and he, told me about the aging process, and I thought I'd never wear glasses, I thought I'd never have a lot of the problems, because I was so robust and healthy and blessed. And he said, well, now, he says, these things happen. He said, a doctor just explained it all to him. Your teeth get a little farther apart. Your lenses harden so that you just get a little bit, lose your acute vision just a little more all the time. And he explained all that. And I just stood there and listened. And I knew that happened to me, and they did. Yeah, every one of them that he was talking about occurred. I'm right on schedule, you see. I bought it. And I've been trying to get it out of my carnal mind ever since. and get it up in my spiritual mind so it can happen, you see. And so I'm telling you, we're suckers. We're snared. It's set up. Yeah, in Isaiah 40. You say Job 33:25. Isaiah, it's in the last part. Isaiah 40, I believe it is. Huh? 40:31. Well, anyway, it's in the last part. It's the last part of a chapter in Isaiah around 40. Yeah, but there's also a good one in Romans 11, I think, that says that the Spirit of the Lord also brings life to our mortal bodies. And quickens them. Yeah. Go ahead. His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. Praise God. Well, we receive him. See, if we live by the Word of God and get that, what is Proverbs saying about the fourth chapter? They're a medicine to our flesh. See? They're a medicine to our flesh. So the Word of God does that. Praise the Lord for good Bible students. It's just wonderful. You know, I've always said, you read that light, the Bible in the light of a Presbyterian, you won't get anything. You read it in the light of a few Pentecostals and you get a little. You read it in the light of the Charismatics and you get some. But you read it in the light of pure deliverance. Of what Jesus came to do, see, was to deliver, to battle, to give us authority, to establish us. If you read it in the light that we're supposed to be walking like Jesus Christ walked, and I'm going to give you 7 scriptures sometime during this meeting to show that the scriptures show we're to walk as Jesus Christ walked. We're to do the same thing that Jesus Christ did. Why would he say, John 14:12, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works you shall you do. So, name what you want from the Lord right now. You don't have to say it out loud, but just name the list. If you need a new job, say so. If you need if you're a widow and you need a husband, ask the Lord to send you one. If you, whatever you need, just ask him. Father, you've said to do this. You've said so many times, Father, just ask. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.